And he needs to spend time in Gehenna for some of the sins that he's done that he hasn't done tshuva for. So he wants Gehenna. He wants Gehenna. He wishes he never sinned, but he's so disgusted by the sin that's stuck on him, and he sees it as separating him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wants it away. He understands that he needs to go through that process, the painful process of Gehenna, in order to cleanse himself, purify himself, to get rid of what he got stuck on himself. It's not something that he feels, oh, why is God doing this to me? It doesn't come with questions or complaints. When you see what it is that a sin does to you, you want to get rid of it. If we were to see the damage of an aveira in front of us and what we will now need to pay to get rid of it, no one would ever, everybody would run away and be terrified from even the smallest of sins not to want to do it. The Gemara says that the lightest, the easiest fire in Gehenim, the easiest fire in Gehenim is 60 times hotter than the fire that we have in this world. When they're describing Gehenim, so they could only use concepts that we're familiar with. So we need things that we could, relate to in a physical sense. We can't relate to things that are outside of our five senses. Like when you're speaking to somebody who's blind, who never was able to see before, you don't know how to compare. When you're trying to explain what something looks like, you have nothing that you can really compare it to. So you have to give a mashal from what they have experienced. So there is something, or the fire in this world is somewhat of like a mashal, and there is some connection between the fire of this world and the fire of the next world, but obviously it's something spiritual, and spiritual doesn't mean easier, but spiritual means something more painful that we don't know how to describe to you, but we could say that it's 60 times hotter. So the same way that when you start to just come close to fire, the closer and closer you get, you can't imagine sticking your finger in it, and you see in a very quick time something that's in fire for a few seconds what it's doing to their body and how terribly damaging it is to them. And we wouldn't be able to exist standing in a fire for very long. A person would die. So 60 times hotter than that. Now Hashem does a miracle in Shemayim that it doesn't kill you because you're dead already. And therefore, only in a spiritual sense could you actually be cleansed, you're able to be cleansed in a sharper, stronger, more direct way than you could in this world, because it's not going to kill you because you're dead already. So when somebody were, the Ramban says that it would be better for a person to suffer his entire lifetime, the suffering of Eov, than to spend one moment in Gehenna. What's the suffering of Eov? Eov had 10 children and they all died in his lifetime. He was super wealthy, he lost all of his wealth and became poor. And he got boils all over his body, under his feet, on top of his head, and he was in terrible pain everywhere. It's one thing to start off your life poor, but it's another thing to be wealthy and then to have nothing. To have children and then not to have any children. He had terrible, terrible suffering. The Ramban writes that it's better for a person, if you were to see what Gehenna was, and then be able to choose between a life of Eov and Gehenna, you'd rather an entire life of Eov than one moment in Gehenna. So why am I? I'm going to freak you out and give you a bad day and nightmares. So the answer is no. The Gra was once talking to his Tamidim about Gehenna and punishment in the next world for the sins that we've done. And one of the Tamidim, after he heard this, and the Gra was able to really bring it alive with quotes from the Zohar and Kabbalah, one of his Tamidim just became sick, physically sick and depressed over what's waiting. And he couldn't get out of bed the next day. He was so sick. And the Tamidim came to the Gra and he said, he's so sick after the shmooze that the Gra gave. Like, what should we do? What should we do? So the Gra said, let's go visit him. So they were all sure that the Gra is going to go to the student and tell him, don't worry, it's not as bad as I described. But that's not what happened. The Gra went there and he said, you should know, everything I said was exactly like that, and it's even worse than what I described. But what I forgot to tell you is that the suffering that a person goes through in this world, on any level, all, like the harshest levels of suffering and the smallest levels of suffering, you would never believe and you can never imagine how effective it is in subtracting Gehenna in the next world. In atoning for sins in this world, that you don't have to go through the more painful purification process in the next world. It's like if somebody were to have a choice, and the king, if somebody rebelled against the king, he took everything the king gave to him and he used it to hurt the king. So He deserves a harsh punishment. So let's say the king would say, okay, either we're going to smash you, you know, very hard with a metal hammer, you know, in your arm, like really, really hard, or we'll cover the hammer with many, many, many fluffy feather pillows, and we'll hit you with it 50 times, but you'll barely feel each hit. So of course, a person would rather 50 hits with a hammer covered in tons of feather pillows than one massive hit with a metal, you know, with a metal hammer. So that's when somebody, when in Shemayim, they decide on a person, if they see that he is not going to be chozer b'tshuva on that sin. He has no plans of it, and it doesn't look like at any point in life he's going to do proper tshuva on that sin. So now, we have to decide what's best for him. If they have mercy on you and they have rachamim on you in Beis Din Shamala, then they decide that instead we're going to give him suffering in this world to in place of what would be so much worse in the next world. And if somebody were to see things from the proper, true, and Torah perspective, every time they would suffer, they would be more happy. This is a midrash. This is a chazal. Chazal say they'd be happier over the suffering that befalls them in this world than they would be over the good things that befall them in this world. Because the suffering that befalls them is now in place of something that will be so much more painful, and now they'll be able to be closer to Hashem in the next world and go more smoothly and easily into Gan Eden instead of having to pay the price in a more painful kind of a way. Now, a person could take the easiest solution or the best solution, the most comfortable one, is to be chozer b'tshuva. If you're chozer b'tshuva, then you erase it without needing to have any type of suffering in this world or suffering in the next world when a person is chozer b'tshuva. And be chozer b'tshuva means that a person decides, I'm not going to do this anymore. And they confess to Hashem verbally what they did wrong, and they stop doing it. And they regret having done it. And if a person does that, then it's erased, and then they don't have to go through the suffering. To the extent that a person regrets it, the more emotional pain he feels over wishing that he never did it, that takes the place of the otherwise cleansing pain that he would have to have through suffering in this world or the next world. If you know somebody that suffered, or if you yourself have suffered at any point, during the suffering it's very painful, but afterwards, you're usually a better person because of it. People that went through suffering in this world, they're usually more humble, they're usually less self-centered, they're usually able to be more compassionate towards others, they're usually softer people, they usually are able to communicate with Hashem much more easily, they're less more into themselves, they realize more that they're in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Suffering makes a person more valuable. It makes a person more in reality. It's like it's a wake-up call to them to feel life. Before a person suffers, they kind of feel like, I own my body, I own my decisions, I own this life, I could do whatever it is that I want, you know, and kind of ignoring reward and punishment and ignoring the fact that you don't own your body and you don't own your decisions and you don't own your life, and it's going to come to an end. When somebody suffers, it's like the rug is pulled out from underneath them, and all of a sudden they're in shock. Wait a second, like, I'm not in control over here, and there's somebody else that's controlling, and it kind of gets them more onto the right track if somebody reacts in the proper way to suffering. Chafetz Chaim was once trying to encourage a guy to go out with a certain girl, and he was trying to list to him like a list of her special traits. So he said, she has Yir Shamayim, and she's Tanua, and then in the list of traits, the Chafetz Chaim said, and she's been through a lot of suffering in her life. As a trait, as a reason to go out with somebody. Because she's gone through suffering in her life, that makes her a more valuable person because of it. If a person can get himself to those places through his own internal work, through his own davening, through his own being chozer b'tshuva, through the pain that he puts himself through by staying away from his desires and by pushing him to take difficult mitzvahs upon himself and taking steps forward, then that would be in place of other type of suffering that you could have in this world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make sure that you don't miss out on the very reason of creation, which is being davak to Hashem, the greatest pleasure that a person could have to be close to Hashem. And the sins separate us and distance us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, and in the next world, we're going to want the Gehenna to get rid of it. But we'll wish that, why didn't I be chozer b'tshuva beforehand? I wouldn't have to go through this now. So when you're faced with suffering in this world, you see it like Hashem is doing for you a mercy, he's doing for you a chesed, and he's getting rid of it from you in a more easy way. So let's say every time you bang your toe, or you break your leg, or you trip and fall, or somebody publicly embarrasses you, curses you out in front of, makes fun of a shot that you took in basketball in front of other people, you actually feel embarrassed, to know right now that you've gotten a lot of atonement at a cheap price. Because if you paid the price in the next world, it would have been much, much worse. And you're in a better place now after that suffering, emotional and physical, than you were before you had suffered. Before suffering, we hope that we don't suffer. We doubt not to suffer. We would rather be chozer b'tshuva. But once you've suffered, that's worth everything in the world. The Stipler is quoted as saying, Rav Shach said, if you've suffered, it's worth millions. You wouldn't want to sell your gains from suffering for millions of dollars. Because you're worth so much more because of the suffering that you've been through. The Chafetz Chaim said that he spoke to his old man that heard from a Talmid of the Gra. The Gra lived towards the end of the 1700s, and the Chafetz Chaim was born lived at some point towards the second half of the 1800s, beginning of the 1900s. So he had an old man that heard from a Talmid, I think, of the Gra, or grandson of the Gra, that the Gra had said the following, that when a person comes to Shemayim, the guys, put away your phones, when a person comes to Shemayim, so they're going to see a big scale in front of them, and there'll be an announcement, will all the mitzvos that a person did go on this side of the scale, and there'll be all types of white malachim piling up on one side of the scale, each one of them heavy or strong based on the extent of the kavani you had of the mitzvah, and the simple you had of the mitzvah, and how exacting you did it to the right halachas and stuff like that, and they're weighing down one side of the scale. And then there'll be an announcement, well, all the sins that a person did go pile up on the other side of the scale. And then all these, not black malachim, but wearing black clothing, malachim, you know, start to pile up on the other side of the scale, and they're actually really heavy, because usually when you sin, you do it with a lot of excitement and a lot of energy, and you have a good time with it. You do it almost with more kavana than we usually do the mitzvah, so they weigh a lot, and you start to see the scale going like this, and you're freaking out because you start to know, once you're dead already, what Gehenna is, and this is not looking good. This is looking terrible, and you're like, you don't know what to do with yourself. You don't know how to put yourself. You're terrified. And then another announcement comes out and says, well, all the suffering that he went through, now come up and pile up, says the Gra, on the side of the mitzvos. And now every time that somebody insulted him, and every time that he banged his finger, and every time that, you know, if he lost a family member, or he was emotionally hurt from something, or had a sickness, or whatever it is, at the blow his nose or whatever, it all starts to pile up, some weighing more than others based on how painful that it was, and it starts to pile up on the side of the mitzvahs, and now he dances and sings and thanks Hashem, says the Gra, for every little tragedy and difficulty that he went through in his entire life, and only wishes that he had had more suffering in his lifetime. When you look at life from the perspective of truth, of Schar and Onesh, of closest to Hashem, of what our purpose here in this world is, everything flips around. Our reactions to everything completely change. And we learned from the natural human reaction of the people around us, television, movies, and all that, books, to react the wrong way to suffering. And we have to train ourselves to react now in the Torah way of suffering. And it's hard. But you start to train yourself that when something bad happens, yes, you feel the pain, but you know at the same time that this is actually good for you. This is something that's going to help you. The Maseiros Yesharim talks about suffering. And whenever you want to know where something fits into Avodas Hashem, you look, where does it come up in the Maseiros Yesharim? It's like the dictionary of Avodas Hashem. Where does the Maseiros Yesharim talk about suffering? He talks about it towards the end of the Sefer, when he's talking about Avas Hashem. Ba'avas Hashem. And we say every day, Ba'avas Hashem v'chol b'chol levavcha v'chol nafcha v'chol me'odecha. V'chol me'odecha, Chazal say, with everything that Hashem does to you, you love Him no matter what. You react to it with Avas Hashem. And one of the tests to what extent you love Hashem and you're a loyal follower and servant of Hashem is how you react to suffering. If you come angry, complaining, upset, and resentful, or no, you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you know that what He's doing for you is good and you just understand why. And he gives a mashal, like if you were to go to a doctor, and because you have some terrible disease or sickness, he has to cut off a limb of yours, or give you a very painful, process that's going to help you get better. You're not angry at the doctor for putting you in that pain or inflicting that pain on you. You're actually thinking, like when they have to bang your jaw into place, or your, what else goes out of, or your shoulder, like whatever out of place. Like, you don't get angry, why are they hitting me? And start freaking out and cursing them. Like, you don't do that. You're actually very thankful. And after you say, thank you so much. Somebody would understand what's going on with you. Why are you thanking them? Why are you so appreciative? You just think, they just put you through terrible pain. But you know that they're fixing you. You know that they're helping you. And that's the true thing that's going on whenever anybody is suffering, that the doctor is fixing you. And even though the treatment might be painful, but it's better than had he not fixed you. I remember when our oldest son was like 9 months old. My wife and I had to take him to the doctor, and he needed, I think, a blood test. And they couldn't get blood out of his arm, so they needed to take it out of his neck. And they sometimes do that to babies or whatever it is. And basically, he's 9 months old, so I had to hold down his arms. My wife had to hold down his legs while the nurse came and was sticking a needle into his neck to draw blood. So meanwhile, he sees the needle, he sees what's going on, and he's shrieking, and his eyes are bulging out of their sockets, staring at me, because I was by the arms. And you know that he's like, what in the world are you doing to me? Like, what the, no, like, what is going on, you traitor, whatever. And you're looking at your kid, and your heart is, like, falling out, and you hate what you're doing, but you're not going to stop. And there's no words and there's no language to explain to him why you have to do this to him, because he doesn't speak the right language yet. He doesn't understand the proper concepts to explain to him why we need to do this blood test right now, no matter how much you're freaking out. And don't worry, we're your parents and we love you and we know what's good. You can't even say that to him. The language, once somebody's outside this world, when Kadosh Baruch Hu looking at this world, we're so limited. And we don't speak the language of where Kadosh Baruch Hu was coming from. We don't see the truth. So he can't explain to us why we have to go through all the different types of suffering that we go through, and why we're born into the different types of situations that we're born through, and things like that. But when we do see the truth, we'll understand. But one who has Ahavas Hashem is not going to be angry, resentful, or distant from Hashem. He'll only be thankful that he knows that Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving him the right treatment. Then the Tzidkus Hashem goes further and speaks of it at a crazy level. But he says that is not even the end of Ahavas Hashem. Those that have Ahavas Hashem in the truest form, a really high level, won't even need to give this mashal that I just said to themselves. And he said, what we can compare them to, their reaction will be like this. Sometimes you have a guy who wants to join the Israeli army, right? I know more guys that want to join the Israeli army than the American army. And they say, I want to be an elite unit. I want to be on the front lines. I want to go right into the Arab homes. And you're like, why? Why do you want to do that? Like, why don't you just like work behind a computer? Or why don't you clean the floors, the kitchen of the soldiers? Why are you trying to endanger yourself? No, because I want to prove my loyalty to the country. I want to put my life on the line for the Jewish people. In other words, the more you love something, you're excited for the chance, the harder of a challenge it would take to give to that person, to that cause. You want it because you want to show that expression of love. When you really love somebody, and you thought and you think of like a way that you could do something for them, but it would be really hard to do it. You have to like arrange a lot of things, but you know they're going to love it if you do that for them. You're so excited to do it because you know when they see I did that for them, they're going to really know I love them. And that's the main thing that you want, gives you the greatest pleasure, is that they should know that you love them and that you have to go through all that and you did all that in order to be able to give to them. Those that have real Avod Hashem in the highest, truest form, don't even think, when they're suffering, they're not thinking about, this is really good for me. They're not thinking about me. They're so excited that now they have a harder challenge to be able to prove their loyalty and Ava for a better struggle, that they want to rise to the challenge. And that would be, and I'm describing something that's way above a level that of people that we generally, meet every day. But that's like a really high level of Azra. Joey, you're waiting for
me. Two questions. So one, I understand you can say, if you stub your toe or if you, I don't know, worst case, lose your sight or anything physical or anything like that, or leaking through coins, and only taking like three when you should have taken four. And I understand how like that could be something you look past, but like, what about like what could possibly be something like, oh, your grandparent passed away when you were whatever, when you were young. Like, what could possibly be something that's like, oh, that's amazing, or like, how could that be like?
If anything, that's even more effective because it feels even more painful. We wouldn't ask that these questions if we understood the damage of a sin. No, if we understood what a smack in the face. We don't really see a Kadosh Baruch Hu as Melech Machayim Lachim. We see it as like a line in the Siddur or a quote in Chazal or anointing that the rabbis refer to. We don't see it like that because we don't recognize it in front of us. When we die and we see it really is that way, then we'll realize that every sin was that terrible. I was literally ignoring God, like completely taking all these things He gave to me and the life He gave to me and using it against Him. And to exert myself in Him, I barely did, only when it was very easy. We're going to see everything very differently. So, but suffering in an emotional way is much more effective at cleansing a person than physical suffering. Physical suffering might humble you, surrender you, whatever, but in an emotional way, it hurts much more than a physical pain.
What if you're, like, young, and, like, the sin isn't like you? With your katan, like sin, like it's not your like sin.
Oh, you're saying what somebody that suffers
like
who
that,
doesn't yet have sin.
Yeah.
So a couple of things, but it could be none of what I'm saying, but sometimes it could be one of the things that I'm saying. One thing is that it could also just be building him and making him a better person. A young child that went through a rough life is usually a more special person later on, and less into themselves and has more of a proper perspective on life. Like I've heard from Torah Tribe guys over the years, you have a number of guys who really go through real suffering at different points in their life. Say, kids that have lost a sibling, lost a parent when they're young, and it's hard for them sometimes to hear guys complain about the things they complain about. So why? Because they see things more in the correct, true perspective. Like, if your heater or air conditioner doesn't work, it's not like the end of the world. You know, like, if the mattress isn't so comfortable, it's like there's much worse things that people should have to face. So it helps a person see life in a more of a good. So that's one response. Also, we believe that there's such a thing as Gilgulim, that this isn't the first time that the Neshama is here in this world, but it's one of the times that we're here in this world. So one of the ways that Hashem has justice in this world is sometimes a person can be punished or rewarded in another time that they're here. So that could also explain a lot of times why a child is here. Which, by the way, might sound crazy what I'm saying about that, but it's almost provable. You can't exactly prove it, but it's only there's books written on thousands and thousands of cases of people that were hypnotized, and through hypnosis, during hypnosis, they would be able to speak languages that they've never been exposed to, languages and dialects of English that haven't existed in this world for a few hundred years, and talk and describe a life that they couldn't know anything about. And then when they would investigate, such a person did exist, and they did have that type of life. So, and people would describe how they died. And there's, if you read up on this, there's thousands and thousands of accounts like that. And it's something that we believe in. I don't know. But the Sfarim talk about it, and the Sfarim talk about the answer to your question, and you want to know which body you come up in.
Is there regret while you're in Shama?
In Shamayim?
Yeah.
For sure. That's part of the biggest pain is the regret of what you've done. It's so painful. And you really realize it much more. Like, if you realize that somebody would realize that they're a baby murderer, can't live with themselves. When we see what our sins were, we'll be like, we won't know what to do with ourselves.
Yeah, but isn't it too late?
Yeah.
So it doesn't count.
What doesn't count?
The regret.
But it's there. It's part of the price you pay for what you've done. When you see what you've done.
No, I'm asking if like there are stories of Rashad in the like.
Oh, regret in this world?
Regret in this world, it helps when you go on to the next world.
Yeah,
but
regret
what if you
in this
don't
world.
Regret, and once you see your avir piling up, you start regretting. Does that count for anything?
That it starts getting you more prepared for Gan Eden if you did a mitzvah.
But it doesn't.
You know, you can't go to Gan Eden with dirt on you, and that helps get rid of the dirt. But it. Yeah. Wait, before we take a question, I just want to make sure that I didn't leave out something that you really want to say. Yeah, another important thing that I want to say is like this. Part of the pain of suffering is that you didn't expect it to be that way. You expect that when you want to get married, you're going to find somebody. And it's not going to be a painful process. You expect that when you get married, you're right, and we're going to have kids when you want to have them, and you're going to have the right number of boys and girls that you're hoping to have. You're expecting that all your kids are going to be perfectly healthy without any health issues on any kind of level. You're expecting that your parents are going to live, you know, to see your, you know, to see their grandchildren get married. You're expecting that all your siblings are going to always be completely healthy, get married when they want to, and all of them will have kids and stuff like that. You're expecting that you're going to get a job and get the parnassa that you want. We're just assuming everything's going to be exactly okay. So then whenever anything goes wrong, it's painful and it's suffering. But if you interview everybody in the world, they all suffer from one of these things that didn't work out for them or didn't happen to them in a way that they never expected would happen. And therefore, the proper and healthy way to approach now life that's in front of you guys, literally the phone, is don't expect anything. Not to expect anything from life. And therefore, whatever does work out in a good way for you, you're so thankful and you feel so indebted to Hashem. And instead, expect from yourself to deal with the different situations that befall you in life, to deal with it in the right way. Our expectation shouldn't be from Hashem that I expect everything to go in a certain specific way, because you have no reason to assume that, because for nobody does it go exactly the way that they expected. And instead, your expectations, your fingers should not be pointed at Hashem, but should be pointed at yourself, that whatever I'm faced with in life, I want to do the proper avodah Hashem in that situation and react to it in the way that I'm supposed to as somebody that has emunah in Hashem.
So let's say if somebody does like proper tshuva and really feels bad and he says vidui and then he properly leaves the chet, and then a couple weeks later he like does the chet again. Does the tshuva not count anymore, or it's no, new,
it's
fresh
new,
again?
It's new.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's new. Not only that, let's say somebody wanted to sin. He wanted to do a sin, whatever it was, and he pushes it off. He fights it and he pushes it off. Then 10 minutes later he fails and he does that sin. He'll be rewarded for the 10 minutes that he pushed it off, just as much as he'll also be punished for the fact that he ended up doing it. Ellie.
If our grandmother passed away, how do we understand that as our own suffering when she has other grandkids?
No, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and only Kadosh Baruch Hu could do this, is able to take everybody into account when anything happens, and it's exactly what was appropriate to happen to every single person that's affected by the situation.
But we're saying it's because like something I did, like that's the exact suffering that I get.
So. No, not necessarily are we saying that, but we're saying that that the pain that you'll feel from that will be cleansing to you in something that you've done.
Couldn't you say the other would be true about
the what?
The opposite would be true. Like wouldn't you want to expect things from life so that you, like, if they happen to you, you suffer more and then, like, you get less punishment?
No.
Okay,
this is an important point. That when somebody accepts suffering, b'simcha, which is the highest level we're supposed to do, be happy when we suffer, accept it with simcha as an act of love to Hashem, and now I'm in a better place than I was before. So you might think then that, wait, so now I'm not suffering though, and then it won't have the effect that suffering would have. No, it's even more effective. Because when somebody does something hurtful to you, but you're not insulted by them, you trust them, that they're doing it out of love for you, so your relationship with them is even closer, because you've shown that to them. So you're even closer to Hashem, you're in a better place, you're in a higher place. Somebody that suffers and accepts it with simcha is in a better place than the person that accepted it with pain. It's accepted with pain, so it just atones. If you accept it with simcha, not only does it atone, but it makes you closer to Hashem and shoots you up to very high levels. The Gemara, when it wants to describe people that are of the highest of levels in the next world, that they shine like the sun in midday, the Pasuk says, those that accept suffering b'simcha. It's reflective of a close relationship with Hashem, Rav.
In the case where the guy had like 10 children and then they all died and he had boredom, how can Hashem punish the kids just so?
No, he doesn't. He takes everybody into account. It's only knows what will happen.
Okay, so
Hashem has to give him 10 kids that he knows are going to die one day. So he takes 10 people from that in a previous lifetime needed to live that much more and give them specifically to him. I'll give you something else also. Let's say somebody sins in a terrible way, and he deserves to die young. But Hashem loves him, and he did a couple of really special mitzvahs, or very special tzedakah, or whatever it is that he deserves. That Hashem is going to do it in a way that he doesn't have to die. He gets to stay alive. So what will Hashem do to him? One thing that Hashem might do, Chazal say, make him win a lot of money, or get a lot of money, and then 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years later, make him lose all of it. So he thinks he just lost something. But really, that was in place of him dying. Hashem only gave it to him so it would be painful when he takes it away to make up for him instead of having the suffering of dying. Or Hashem could give him a child. When somebody buries a child, Chas v'shalom, the Gemara Brava says it's an atonement for all their sins. So if somebody has very bad sins, or Hashem wants to, so he might give him a child just to take away from him. So he thinks that I just lost something. But really, you never would have had it to begin with. It was only given to you in order to cleanse you. And that's a chesed way of giving you a kapara in this world instead of the next world. Now, that doesn't mean everybody loses a child. That's the pshat. That's one of the explanations sometimes.
So, yeah. You said just before about like the greatest level is to have simcha in your suffering.
Yeah.
So it's a nice ideal, let's say, but like, how do we get to that ideal? What are some practical ways?
So
like,
I'm just going to say,
I'm so happy that like I just lost my parent or whatever it is.
Yeah, 100%. And also, we're not looking to be robots that just say the right thing.
Yeah,
all right.
So, like, how do you feel?
And we are meant to sit Shiva, and you are meant to cry when somebody is nifter to feel the pain. But first of all, the perspectives I'm describing now, not just hear them once, but learn Sfarim that talk about it. Read the Chazals that shrink from it, and remind yourself of it, and in the smaller tests and the smaller suffering that happened to us, to train yourself to react to it in the right way. And when you work on Avas Hashem in all areas, so then, and you recognize, look at things that you once suffered and how it turned out to be good for you. So you're not going to always see that in your life, but a lot of times you might look at something that happened 5, 10 years ago and now be able to see the good that came out of it. So realize that that's true about everything. Some of it you see in this world, some of it you only see when you leave this world. But it's true about everything. So making like a gzera shava between pain that we went through and how at that time we didn't understand why it happened. Let's say you got rejected by a different yeshiva. So you didn't know at the time that was the best thing in the world, but you had to go to Torah Chagas for the year. Now you're in Torah Chagas, you realize, Hashem was really protecting me, because now I see what happened with my guys that went to that yeshiva. So that's like a miniature type of an example of that. But it's true. You know, a girl, like your girlfriend breaks up with you. You see a guy that was crazy. He looks like death. He looks like a train hit him, and he's a wreck, and he's a mess. But interview him 10 years later when he's with his wife and a couple of his kids, and now and he looks back at what that girl was, and he sees how she wasn't good for him and what type of guy she ended up marrying, life she. Now he realizes, thank you Hashem for doing that. Like, but you can't see that at the time. But that's an example of how you see that. That's true with all the suffering that you go through. Who was first?
If I say I'm going to do tshuva on a certain aviro that I did, and then I'm fine for whatever. And
you
then,
say you're going to do it?
Yeah, no, like I'm doing it. I'm in the process. Yeah. But then I fail with the same avira. Do I lose the tshuva?
No.
So it just starts over.
Right. And you get credited for the tshuva you did?
That was
yeah. The question. Shavi yipol tzadik. Hashem makes it that it's not easy to stand up again, John.
Thank you. Similar to what you just said about the relationships, if someone at first doesn't realize the pain they're experiencing is for the good, and they get very upset about it, but then they're like, oh wow, this is really, really good, and then they're happy about it.
The extra suffering you give to yourself by looking at it in the wrong way is not an atonement for your sins. When you complain and curse and get angry and flip out, that's just self. That's self. You're just punishing yourself. Chafetz Chaim is a mashal. If somebody is like in chains, right? So he's in chains. And he tries to fight to get out of them, but he's not going to. So he's scraping himself and rubbing himself and banging against the walls. That's all self-inflicted. That, the guy that put him in chains didn't do it in. So that when you take something and you throw it out of proportions, you go nuts over it, That's all self-inflicted, and it doesn't prompt atone for sin, and it only distances somebody from Hashem. By the way, wait, we don't ask Hashem for sin. Only people on a real for suffering. Only people on a really, really high level. Nachum Ishkamzu, if you ever learned the Gemara in Tainis, it's a crazy story. But basically, there was a point in his life where he had no arms, no legs, he was blinded in both eyes, and he had boils all over his body. And his Talmidim saw him and said, like, woe to us that we see our Rebbe like this. He said, woe to me if you wouldn't see me like this. Because what happened was, is he was once traveling and he had like food on his donkey and stuff like that, and a poor person who was hungry came and asked him for food. So he said, okay, sure, 1 minute, I'll just take everything off the donkey, and I'll take it out and I'll give it to you. And in the meantime, the guy died. And Nachum Ishkamzu felt terrible. He felt like, maybe if I would have been quicker, would have rushed, maybe he would have lived. So he said, will the legs that didn't run to the poor person be cut off? Will the arms that didn't reach out to him be cut off? Will the eyes that didn't feel compassion for him be plucked out? And then he still wasn't satisfied. So he said, let boils fill the rest of my body. He was a tzaddik. Hashem listened to his tefillos, and that actually happened to him. And he said to his talmidim, woe to me if you wouldn't see me like this. Because he wanted kapara, atonement in this world, and not to have a blemish with it for on him in the next world. He could take it. If that would happen, God forbid, to any one of us, we couldn't take it. Why don't we want suffering? Because we're afraid of how we're going to react to it. If we were to... Usually when you suffer, you learn less good. You daven less well. You do mitzvahs less. We would rather come to close to Hashem through learning Torah, through doing mitzvahs. So we don't want to have suffering because we don't know how we're going to deal with it. But when it happens, then we realize that in Shemayim, had mercy on us and they did what was good for us. You can't self-inflict pain on yourself. That's like going to the pharmacy and just taking random medicines and giving it to yourself. You don't know what suffering you need. You're just banging your head against the wall and breaking your leg. That's not what you needed. So you're not supposed to do that.
Why would Nachum Ishkam choose to pray that his limbs fall off as opposed to just doing tshuva?
He also would do tshuva. He would just never see it as good enough. Because he saw his sin for what it really was.
Didn't Rebbe say that emotional suffering is more effective at kapara than physical?
He would have both. Wasn't it? I think it's better instead of... Okay, Shkaya.
Jack.
I had a question I can't remember right now.
What?
Everyone can take another cookie.
Thank you.
Baby, what did you say before the self-inflicting? Right before the self-inflicting?
Before the self-inflicting?
No, you can't self-inflict yourself because you said that
earlier. Hello, Rabbi. Thank you.
We're afraid of having. Usually, we have a Hashem in the Torah. Usually, when we say something, we need to put.